It's time. And Brother North reminded us, you know, we put off doing some work and getting our building fixed up. But he reminded us that through the years, every time we began to do something in regards to the building, God just blessed us. The money was there to do anything we needed to do. And so we've had a lot of expense. You know, I'll just tell you, we haven't talked about our fundraising out there on the wall. But in the last 2 years, we've spent quite a lot of money on air conditioning, air conditioning repairs. I mean, up in the thousands, just to have us air conditioning and heating in both of these buildings. But I believe we've got a handle on it. And God is good to us, y'all. Insurance helped us get this brand new one out here. And even being a new one, it had things that come about. Wasn't under warranty. And that's aggravating when something's not under warranty. And then you try to get the right people out here. So it has cost us. But we're going to be talking more about that. But with that said, Brandon and Amber, we're going to begin Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday. We're going to be painting these three rooms. Got to empty them out, painting it, getting it cleaned up. So if you'd like to come any of those evenings and Saturday morning for just a little while, they can use your help to do that. But we're getting started. We're gonna lay out a plan and see what the Lord has for us. Amen? Amen. All right. And again, thank you all for being obedient to God's leading today. John, Tina, all of you that marched around this place. Lutine, thank you for being obedient to the Lord. And Linda, oh my gosh. And then Brother Danny, thank you for being obedient. I'm telling you, there was some healing that has taken place in this house today. Amen.
Which day are we painting?
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. And Wednesday night after prayer, we'll empty the rooms out. How's that? Okay. Amen. The goat has butted me a few times this weekend, so I'm doing better. How's that? He likes to rattle you. Just when you turn your back on him, Brandon, he'll come after you. That's all right. Told Brandon I'm giving him that fivefold ministry right here. Robert, lay hands on him. That's right. That two before ministry. That's it. Oh, my word. All right. Well, let's go here. We're going to look at the word of the Lord. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, and the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Now, before I give you my title this morning, this little empty bottle, I found it empty. I promise you, it was empty when I found it. Somebody left it on my doorstep out here. And so when I drove up during the week, I saw it there, but I was in a hurry. I just left it there. I came on in. I figured I'd get it later. Well, Brother Charlie comes by. Says, Pastor, Pastor, you left your bottle out here, you know. I said, no, I found it that away. It's out there. I said, just leave it alone. I don't want to fool with it right now. So he said, okay. So I left it out there. Brother Mass, the pastor of the Assembly of God, drops by. So when I open the door, he's holding this, you know. I said, come on in, Brother Mask. I said, thank you. I'll just throw that away. Somebody left it there. Anyway, there was a reason for it, okay? Fireball. Red hot cinnamon is what it says. Now, the back is what caught my eye. Now, if I can read it. It says, ignite the night, N-I-T-E. What you have here tastes like smooth whiskey. With a fiery kick of red hot cinnamon. It tastes like heaven, burns like hell. What happens next is up to you. So the title of my message today is Ask for the Fire. And I'm going to add to it, what happens next is up to you. How's that? All right. I showed it to Sister Linda and she wanted to smell it, you know. Woo. It will. All right. Well, we know where that's going here after a while. All right. Ask for the fire. Oh, my. This is one of those passages that stir and provoke us in our pursuit of God. It's one of the many God encounters that we find in the Word, where God visits in a unique way, in a brief moment in time that changes and transforms the life of Moses forever. For Moses, this was just another ordinary day here in Midian, where he had been in the last 40 years faithfully tending the flock of Jethro. Now, I'm sure he was expecting the day to be the same as any other day, but this day was different. It was where the ordinary became the extraordinary. The usual became the unusual. And the normality of life, listen, was replaced by the suddenlies of God. And Moses' direction in life, his attitude towards God, his purpose for living changed the moment God came down like an eternal flame. The years of the life of Moses are remarkably divided into 3 40s. The first 40 he spent as a prince in Pharaoh's court. The second as a shepherd here in Midian. And the third then as a leader of the Israelites. He had now finished his second 40, where he received his commission to bring Israel out of Egypt. Moses was born to be Israel's deliverer. And yet, watch this, not a word is said to him of that till he is some 80 years old. When God appeared to him, he found him tending sheep near Mount Horeb, or Mount Sinai is known as. And this was a poor employment for a man of his education. And yet he finds contentment with it. But just like Moses was faithful then to his responsibilities, so were the shepherds who were keeping their flocks when they received the news of Jesus' birth. Moses then is a good example to those who feel that you've been on the backside of the desert and it has been a long time since you have felt anything or heard anything from the Lord. In God's time, watch this, as long as you stay faithful to your responsibilities. He will fit you into His plan and His purpose in His time and in His own way. Can you say amen?
Amen.
If you feel like you've been put into spiritual retirement, I have a word for you this morning. Brandon's already alluded to it. Moses saw more in a desert than he ever saw in Pharaoh's court. So stay faithful where you are. While Moses was busy about his task of tending the sheep, he looks over and he sees a bush that is burning. And this is what is called a theophany. A theophany. It was a visible presence of God Himself. This was more than a phenomenon. It was an extraordinary manifestation of the divine presence of Almighty God. And it was the last place Moses expected to meet God. This was in the middle of the desert. It was barren. It was lifeless. Nothing happens on the backside of the desert until the Creator of heaven and earth shows up. Until the one who holds all things in the palm of His hands shows up. Until the one who doesn't know limitation. Until the one who's never known the word impossible shows up. And when He comes down, then guess what? Everything changes. When the Lord saw that He had caught Moses' attention, God called him from the bush. Now, again, there's an important principle here that we can't afford to miss. And that is, as we turn toward God, He will surely speak to us. Understand with me that if Moses had carelessly neglected this and just thought maybe this was some meteor, a thing not worth taking notice of, it is probable that God would have departed and said nothing to him. But when he turned aside, God spoke to him, meaning that he turned from what he was doing or where he was going, and he turned to look at that burning bush. And what did God say? "Take off your sandals, Moses, for you're standing on holy ground." Amen. Understand with me that the putting off of the shoes was then what the putting off of the hat is now, a token of respect and submission. The ground is holy ground, and made so by this special manifestation of the divine presence of Almighty God. And for Moses, everything changes then at this point in time, because his encounter with God is a revelation of God Himself. The God that he sees and encounters for the very first time can only be described as a God of fire. This bush should have been destroyed in less than 10 seconds flat. But the miracle here is not the bush, but the fire. Amen. The fire of God kept burning and kept burning. It was an inexhaustible fire. The blazing fire that sets the bush aflame and kept burning and consumed it, but did not destroy it. And then shone through it and distinguished it from the thousands of other bushes around it. Watch us now. It is a sign and a symbol for what God wants to do through us and in us, who He calls the church today. Amen. Understand, He wants to set the church on fire. He wants His Spirit to blaze through every area of our lives. He wants to burn within us a fresh passion for Him. He wants to consume us with His fiery presence, so we shine with His glory, so that the world may know that there is one God and none other. Our God is a God of fire, and He wants His people to be set ablaze with His glory. Our God is a God who reveals and acts and rests and remains within His people by the way of supernatural fire. When we look at Scripture, we can clearly see that the very person, the very character and nature of God Himself is represented and revealed to us by way of the fire. Moses, when he was speaking of Jehovah after the burning bush experience later on in his life, we found in Deuteronomy 4 and 24, it says, here's what he said, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire." He is a jealous God.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And then we see where the Apostle John in his vision on the Isle of Patmos gives a beautiful description of the beauty of Christ when he sees Him in all of His glory. And he says, beginning in Revelation 1, chapter, verse 14, "His countenance," he says, "was like the sun, shining in His strength. His voice as a sound of many waters. His hair was white as wool, and His eyes like a flame of fire." And then John the Baptist, when speaking about Jesus and His sending of the Holy Spirit, said this, "One is coming who's mightier than me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." Fire is an aspect of God's presence appearing to His people. In Scripture, it was a sign of His approval, a sign that He lived and dwelt with men and women, His chosen people who He had called His very own. In Exodus chapter 13, we see for the children of Israel where God lived above them as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Leviticus chapter 9, we see where in the tabernacle, when God came, the fire of God came and consumed the people's sacrifices or the offerings by means of fire, which showed God's favor. 1 Kings chapter 18, we find where the prophet Elijah's cry to the people of Israel was this, "Let the God who answers by fire, let Him be God." And the prophet Jeremiah in the 20th chapter of his own book, he writes, "God's word was like a burning fire shut up in my bones."
Yes. Amen.
Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit came, it was described as tongues of fire that rested upon each of them. Now, whether in the Old Testament or New, whether at the beginning or the end, you're going to find traces of the fire of God burning brightly. Not a flicker, but a flame touching and transforming the lives of ordinary people just like you and me. Now, this is all good and right to know about, but how does this revelation of God as the God of fire affect then our lives today? How can this God of the burning bush, the God who reveals and answers by fire, change us by fire so we become then more like Christ, like in everything we are and everything that we do? We've got to know that, because if we don't, then this just remains a story that I've read to you today. It's just words on a page that remains in a book and has no effect or reality in our lives. Let's look then just for a moment at some characteristics of the fire of God, which reflect then the way God will come and work in our lives. If you have a pencil handy, I've got three of them. Number one, fire consumes. In Exodus chapter 3, in verse 2 of our text, we find where suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a blazing fire in the bush. Moses was amazed because this bush was engulfed in flames, but it did not burn up. And I've already mentioned Deuteronomy 4:24. But the writer to the Hebrews says the same thing over in the New Testament. Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. That means everything that God touches, everything that He has ownership of, He wants to consume. He doesn't destroy, He consumes. And that's why when Moses looked at that bush, it was consumed by fire, but was not destroyed. And that's the same thing God wants to do with our lives. He does not want to destroy you. He wants to consume you. We know the enemy wants to come and destroy and kill and steal. And when God comes, He wants your life and mine to be like a flame of fire, whereby all we can do and say then represents Him. Amen. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7 says, He makes His servants flames of fire. John Wesley put it like this: when the fire of God touches your life, people will come and see you burn. The question I have then for every one of us, the young and the old, and I encourage all the young ones to listen to this today. Are you burning brightly for Christ Jesus? Amen. Has He got first place and first call upon your life? Are you consumed with the zeal of the Lord today? If you're consumed, guess what? You'll be committed to all of what God is doing in His church today. If you're consumed, then the job, the family, the interests in life will be second compared to seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. If you're consumed, you won't be satisfied not growing in Him. You'll be a man or a woman seeking to be in His presence. And if you're wondering this morning what the vision is for this church in 2023, it's to seek God's presence for our lives more than we have ever done before, because it's only in His presence that we are changed. And once in His presence, we find where we want to dwell there, and then do everything we can to please our God. And yes, I do believe He's going to bless us financially in many ways. We're already seeing it in our finances. If you're consumed, you'll seize every opportunity you get to share your faith and your story with every person that passes you by or you come in contact with. So number one, fire consumes. Number two, fire refines. Fire refines. Malachi chapter 3, 1 and 2, the prophet Malachi sees the Lord and he says, the Lord you are seeking will suddenly come to His temple. And he describes what He'll be like in His coming. He says He will come like a refiner's fire. A refiner's fire is a fire that refines. Now, the word refiner today is not a common word. A lot of people would not be able to describe it because that job is not as common today as it was in biblical times. A refiner in biblical times was a person who basically took a piece of metal that was formless and impure, and he had put that metal in the furnace and he had heated up with intense heat until all of the dross and all of the impurities came to the surface, and then he'd wipe it off. He'd do this again and again, up to seven times. He'd go through the same process until he knew the metal was clean and pure. And the way he would know that the metal was pure, and once he looked at it, he'd see the reflection of his face in the metal. And this is a beautiful picture of the refining that God wants to do in our lives. He won't leave us the way we are. He'll chase after us until we change. Watch us now. He wants our attitudes and our weaknesses. He wants any and all of those hidden sins. He wants those disillusionments that hold us back. He wants every bit of the fear and the condemnation. Brandon, you were right on it this morning in opening in prayer. He wants it all to go through the furnace of His presence. So all of the dross that's in our hearts, they will come to the surface for one reason and one reason alone. And that's so the reflection of Christ then may be seen in everything we are and in everything that we do. Amen. Not the reflection of the world, not the reflection of self, but the reflection of Jesus Christ. Not only does the fire consume, not only does the fire refine. Number three, fire brings light. Psalm 78:14 speaks about the way God dwelt with and guided His people. And it says, in the daytime also He led them with a pillar of cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. Understand with me that everything outside the camp was covered in darkness. But when others looked at where the children of Israel were, they saw fire which reflected the light. And God wants this church, you and me, to be a church on fire so that we can be the light that shines into the dark regions of this community. When the fire comes, listen, your light shines. When the fire comes, people will be drawn to the light. In other words, it is what they see in your life and mine. Right now, can you do a self-examination? What does people see in your life? So we see fire consumes, fire refines, and fire brings a light. Now, I don't believe this morning God wants this word to be a word again that you just hear. I believe He wants it to be a word that you experience. He wants to give every one of us fresh fire. Would you say fresh fire? He wants to touch your life again and again with fresh fire, so you and I will be the difference that we need to be in the world in which we live. And if there is one thing that we need in our churches today and in our lives individually, is yes, fresh fire. And by that, I mean a fresh anointing of the Holy Ghost. We need a Holy Ghost invasion. I desire it, and I want Him to do it. We need, like He did this morning, He just crashed our service this morning. We need divine interruption. And again, we're finding ourselves getting to that place we're not worried about time. If you have to leave, I understand, so be it. But I want to stay where the fire is burning. Amen? We need the Holy Ghost and fire to show up like He did in the upper room, suddenly and supernaturally, undeniable and indisputable. Like He did in Acts chapter 4, He says they prayed. How many know that it's a good thing to pray? Look at your neighbor, just tell them it's a good thing to pray. And as we've already said, if you were not here last Wednesday night, you missed an awesome prayer service. Verse 29 of Acts chapter 4, here's what it says. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant thy servants boldness that we may speak the word. Verse 30, by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, 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 And when they had prayed. 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 Not moaning. Not grumbling. Not being critical. When they had prayed. The place was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. They were not timid about what they had received. They were not shy. Well, I just don't think they want to hear this today. I just don't. I'm just not going to say nothing. I'm going to stay quiet. You, that's right. You better speak it out. Whether it's a laundromat or at the store, wherever it may be. Amen. It was a Holy Ghost and fire invasion. Yeah. Just like when Peter was preaching at Cornelius' house, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 44, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. Yeah. He did not wait for an altar call, Brother Danny. Yeah. It was in the middle of Peter's preaching. The Holy Ghost erupted.
Hallelujah.
And interrupted him.
Hallelujah.
That's what we need.
Yes.
Something that originates from heaven. Something that will shake us up. Something that will wake us up. Something that will stir us up. Something that will set the older and the younger alike on fire. Watch us now. We need God to interrupt our saying by His doing. Again, Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spoke those words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The Holy Ghost did not wait on Peter to finish his sermon. He just fell on the whole group. I would rather have 10 minutes of Holy Ghost doing than 10 months of saying. You don't have to wait today for me to finish this morning to receive from God. You just go ahead and you drink from that well of living water. You can be healed right now in your seats. You can be saved right now where you're sitting. You can be delivered right now where you're at. You can receive the joy right now. In fact, just let it bubble up. Let it bubble up. Let it bubble up. Let it bubble up. Look at somebody say, just let it bubble up. From within you. Woo! You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire right now. You can get your miracle right now. You can get your breakthrough when? Right now. Everything you need is in the Holy Ghost and fire. If there's one thing missing in many a church and in their personal lives today, it's the energy and the life and the vitality and the fire and the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Now we're seeing it increase here at New Life more and more. But I'm not satisfied with a little dab, do ya? I want a tsunami of Holy Ghost and fire. Here's the definition of a tsunami wave. It does not resemble normal waves coming up on a beach. Oh, how pretty are those waves. They're just coming towards me. Oh, how pretty is that. I'm going to get my feet just a little wet. No, you better watch out. You better brace yourself. A rapidly rising tide with periods ranging from minutes to hours, bringing with it enormous power that can affect entire ocean basins. The question is, how bad do we want it? And can we even handle it when it comes? Are we ready? Hear me now. We can look at the world today and we can cite the world as being our problem, and rightly so. That may be true to a degree. Well, we can blame the atmosphere around us and say, well, it's that demonic influence all around us that resists the power from coming upon us, Pastor. And that might be true to a degree. But the truth of the matter is, you cannot blame anyone else because you are the keeper of your own flame. On the day of Pentecost, when that mighty Holy Spirit blew in, every head got a flame. It was a personal Pentecost. That means every person is responsible to fan the flame of Pentecost, to keep the fire burning in your life. We have to stir up the gift that is in us. Well, how do you do that, Pastor? I'm so glad you ask. The first step to stirring the flame is to remove anything that is fire or flame resistant. That means getting rid of anything that is offensive and resistant to the Holy Ghost. Are you hearing me this morning? That means repent of allowing the accumulation of junk in your life. That means to seek the Lord with all your heart. That means to pray. That means to pray. That means to pray. That means to pray, Brandon. That means to pray. That means to spend time worshiping and adoring Almighty God. And yes, giving Him some real gut-wrenching, honest praise straight from your heart to His. That means to read His Word, Brother Tony. Meditate on His Word on a daily basis, and Brother Tony does. That means to pray in tongues. The Bible speaks of building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We have to stir up the gift. If you're born again, then there is an anointing that's there. There is a fire in you. It may be low, and it may be just a flicker. It may even seem at times like it's gone out. But if you'll just begin, Sister Lutine, if we'll begin to stir those ashes, so to speak, the wind of the Spirit will begin to blow again, and the fire will burn again and consume our being. We can't afford to let the fire go out in our lives. We're too close to the end, Brother North. Listen, the bridegroom is at hand. Jesus is coming to get His bride, and people are still asleep all around us. Many believers are asleep in the church, and they're still singing the same songs. They're still saying hallelujah and amen, but the fire sadly has gone out. It's time for us then to stir up the gift that is in us. Can you leave today and determine that we will wake up that calling, that we will wake up the destiny that's in us, wake up that anointing, wake up that fire? Listen, it does not matter how big or how high performance your engine is, Brandon. If your battery is dead, guess what? You are dead in the water. And sadly, many years ago, as I was seeking the Lord one morning, God told me, the Holy Spirit told me and got my coattail. He says, you're dead in the water. Oh, and I'm a pastor. Oh, my God. And I got busy. I got busy. I wanted to make sure everything was out that would resist that fire. I asked Him from then on, burn everything out of me. Yes. I want everything dealt with me. I don't want to carry one thing into judgment and stand before Him for it. God, You deal with me right now in this situation. And if I have forgotten something that I have not dealt with, then God, You bring it to my memory. I may have said something and did something a long time ago that I forgot. May have offended somebody. May have said something. And I've not dealt with it. You ask the Holy Spirit, and I promise you, He will bring it to your mind to deal with it. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how much destiny you have in you. It doesn't matter how many gifts you have or how much callings are in you. Unless they are activated by the Holy Spirit, they are dead. Don't you give up on those dreams. Don't you give up on those visions and prophecies that have been spoken over you in times past. You start declaring them so in your life now. Start declaring for them to come alive inside of you right now. Now is the time. Would you look at somebody and tell them, now is the time. All of those dreams and visions are for such a time as this. So call it forth. Call it forth. When you're activated, you can activate others. How can you do something for somebody else and it's not, you not have it yourself? When you're on fire, you can release the fire to others. There's a story in the book of Judges. I love this story. Of where Samson set 300 foxes on fire. And they became dangerous to the enemy because they carried the fire. He set their tails on fire. And they released the fire. And they spread the fire everywhere they went throughout the fields of the wheat and the grain. Everything they touched caught fire. They didn't really even have to touch it. They just ran by and the fire jumped off of them. And you and I can have that same kind of fire. That same kind of anointing. Understand, Peter carried that kind of fire. The Bible says they laid the sick and the diseased and the demon-possessed in the streets. And as His shadow passed over them, the Bible says they were healed, delivered, and set free. Allow then God, allow the fire of God to be activated and go to work in our lives. Listen, when we do, we will see all of our old theories and all of our arguments and all of our criticisms burned up by the fire. We will see our doubts and our uncertainties burned up. You're not going to have a bunch of questions. God will be downloading the answers to you. And listen to this, sin and sickness and disease cannot resist the fire. Oppression, fear, and anxiety cannot resist the fire. Poverty, lack, addictions, and old habits cannot resist the fire of God. Send the fire, Lord. Can you just raise your hands right now and say, send the fire, Lord. Let it fall on me. Burn within me. When the fire of God is activated in our lives, miracles, signs, and wonders will become commonplace in the church. Wreath, would you come on up? God did something today. Don't you doubt. Don't you doubt what He did for you today. I want us to pray in a moment and ask the Lord to stir and activate that fire and that anointing in all of us so that wherever we go, we'll be the carrier of the fire. We'll be a threat then to hell. We need the fire of God in our lives. We were created for the fire. Brandon, we were created for the fire. Listen, heaven will respond as it always has, and God will send His fire when we get hungry. Somebody said that today. They were hungry and they were thirsty and they began to cry out. How hungry then are we? How thirsty are we really? 2 Chronicles 7:1. When Solomon prayed, the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. 1 Chronicles 21:16. David built an altar, and God answered him by fire from heaven. Leviticus 9:24, they came out of fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which when all the people saw, they shouted and fell on their faces. How much of God do we want? When Elijah prayed on Mount Carmel, God answered him with a baptism of fire. 1 Kings 18:38. Then the fire of the Lord fell, consumed the burnt sacrifice, and watch this, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. What was it? They had dumped 12 barrels of water on that sacrifice, and it filled that trench. God lapped it up. When the true fire of God falls, nothing can resist it. And where there's a fire, guess what? It's going to get people's attention. They'll follow the fire truck and they'll follow the smoke to find the fire. Let's activate that which is in us as believers. And as the fire burns bright, watch out, because it's going to draw a crowd, Brandon. I'm ready. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for a fresh baptism of fire. Let me end with this. The church must catch the fire again. Why? Because the only thing that can turn now the tide of this nation and stop its slide into total disorder and immorality is for us, the church, the called out ones, the blood bought ones, the redeemed, to have another visitation of the fire of God. And when we do, we'll be contagious in a good way. We'll be contagious in a good way. So let's stir it up and let's rekindle the gift inside of us and watch what happens. Watch what happens. Let me just read that last little slogan. What happens next is up to you. What happens next is up to you. Let's all stand together. In fact, would you just gather down as we close? Just gather down close. Hallelujah. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty for the fire. Glory, glory. Don't be afraid of the fire. 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 Come on up. I won't bite, I promise. Come on up. Gather on up. Come on. Come on. Come on, guys. Come on. Come on up. Michelle, come right here and stand. There's a place right here in the middle. Coral, come on up here behind her. Right here. Come on, Coral. Come on. Come on, darling. Come on up here. Stand right there. Daniel, come stand behind him. That's a hot spot right there. There's water right there. There's a well right there. Oh, my gosh. Harabashata. Would you just be serious with God for a moment? Don't be embarrassed. Would you just close your eyes and just ask Him? He knows your heart. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows the pull of the world on our youth. He knows what you deal with on a daily basis. All He's asking, as Brandon was right on once again at the beginning of the service, He wants you to give it to Him. Amen. Let Him deal with it. Yeah. Let Him deal. He'll show you. He'll show you what you're to do with your part. Because how many know? There's things that we have to do on our part. He's ready. He's waiting. We get to that place where we're waiting on Him, but then He comes and said, okay, I'm waiting on you now. I'm here. You've been waiting on me. I'm waiting on you. What you going to do? What are you going to do? I'm waiting right now. Hallelujah. Would you just, in your own way, just lift your hands to the Lord? Would you just pray to the Lord right now? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I'm telling you, you'll leave here not the same. You'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. You'll never be the same again. Never again, never again, never again, Lord. Send your fire. Send your fire. Send your fire. Come on. Come on. Andabashatabasatabakaya. Oh. Surrender to Him. Surrender to Him right now. Don't resist the fire. Don't resist the fire. I can't make you do a thing. But I'm telling you, if you resist the fire, there's going to be one day. Because when you resist the fire, you're resisting God Almighty. And all He wants to do is something in your life for you. But if you choose not to desire Him, or you choose not to desire the fire, there's going to come a day that you're going to need Him. Yes, if there's a flicker still in you, He's there. He's there. Don't let that flame go out. Don't let it go out. He's a merciful God. We're all going to call on Him one day. We're all going to stand before Him and give an account for our lives. Every knee will bow. Well, Pastor, I just don't think I need all of that. All I want to do is just come when I can, and I want to hear Your word, and I want to go home because the meat's in the oven, and I've got a good movie I want to go to this afternoon, and oh, you just preach real good to me, Pastor.
Come on.
Oh, my God. Don't find your place. Don't find yourself in that place.
Come on.
Desire Him. Desire Him. Yes. Put Him in the center of your life.
Yes.
I promise you, everything around you will work. Everything will work when He's the center of our lives.
Yes.
Your family, things will work together with your family. Things will work out at school. Things will work out on the job. Things will work out with relationships. Don't just put Him at the top of the list. He's not A on a list of the alphabets. He's not number one on a list of numbers. He's to be the center of our lives. Everything we do then comes off of that. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt Him. He's ready to do in our lives. Don't give up on Him. Don't give up on Him. Don't ignore that still small voice. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up, Sister Lutine. I need you to pray. Wake up. Oh, it's 3 o'clock. God, let me just sleep. Wake up. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs your prayer. You find out later, a missionary comes to the church and he gave a testimony on a certain date and certain time how God miraculously protected them from the attacks of the enemy. And that little lady opens up her diary to that page because it just jumped out at her. 3 o'clock, such and such date, the Lord woke me up to pray. I didn't know who I was praying for, but God woke me up. I'm so glad I did. I'm so glad I obeyed. Don't ignore that still small voice. God may choose to show himself like he did to Moses. Hallelujah. I think Brother Hagin says that the Lord showed himself one time to him in his life, there in his bedroom, I think, on the chair. Now, I don't know if he showed himself again in that way. Brother Hagin said he talked to me for I don't know how many hours. Showed him what he needed to do, what he needed to say. Oh, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. Lord, I thank you for this body of people. I thank you that you have called us for this hour. I thank you for every person from the youngest to the oldest today. Lord, you see our hearts. You made us. You see what we deal with on a daily basis. Lord, I just thank you today. If we're not where we need to be, I ask God that you would just speak to our hearts. Show us how to get back on track. You do it with such love. Thank you, mighty God. Lord, send your fire. Send your fire. I praise you. Lord, I just ask your blessings over this body of people. As we go from this house today, you continue to lead us and guide us this week. Bring us back to the appointed time in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I love y'all. Michelle, I love y'all. Girls, I love all of y'all. God loves you. He's got some good things in store. Jaden, God's got some good things in store for you. We're glad you're here today. All of our kids. Hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't we just wait a minute? Hallelujah. Oh.